Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Several years ago, Brother Art Wilson was here preaching a revival meeting, and he was. There were three, you know, preachers that evening, and he was in the middle. He was the middle preacher, so he made the comment. He said, "So you know what that means? You know, it's a sandwich. What's in the middle? It's the meat." Right? It's a meat in the middle. But then it could also be a bologna. hopefully that's not what it is this morning. I want to thank Brother Teeter for continuing to organize this conference and the opportunity for me to speak again in this conference. You know, it's been good, and thank for the messages that have been preached, and you know, Brother O'Neill and Brother Fry, and you know, I could simply say ditto and go sit down, you know, and they've pretty much touched on many of the things I'll also be touching on this morning. But you know, Brother O'Neill preached yesterday on, you know, the wounded spirit, and then Brother Fry preached on, you know, a peace for troubled mind. And of course, this morning, he preached on, you know, pressing on, you know, through the trials that we go through. You know, for some of you being here today, chances are you know that what it means to walk a road that feels empty, silent, and long. Maybe you've been walking it for years, the road of loneliness, childlessness, where the nursery stays empty and the laughter of little feet never fills your home. The road of personal loss, where the chair at the table sits empty and the voice you loved is gone. The road of grief that just won't lift, where every sunrise feels like a reminder that yesterday's pain is still today's companion. I remember when my wife and I went 16 plus years childless, and the challenges we faced and the external and internal emotions and pressures we had to deal with, but through it all, God blessed us with a son. Amen. Amen. You know, where has time gone? As Brother Teeter mentioned, you know, he's 17, soon he'll be 18, he has his driver's license now, about to give his mother a heart attack. You know? But every time I look at him, I'm reminded of the years we waited and the grace God gave us in the waiting. Listen, you're not alone on the lonely road. The Bible is full of saints who walked that same lonely road. And today we'll look at one of the loneliest men who ever lived. Job. He was an upright man. He was perfect, the Bible says, and he feared God. And yet, he lost 10 children in one day. He lost his wealth, his health, his reputation, and even the comfort of his wife. His friends turned against him. His body was covered with boils. And for months, maybe years, as Deuteronomy puts it, the heavens were brass. No answer from God. He cried out, "How long will he vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. My kinfolk have failed and my family friends have familiar friends have forgotten me. He goes on to say, have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God?" Very troubling statements when someone is going through that sudden loss that he went through. Yet, right in the middle of that darkness, Job cried out the words we will use as our text this morning. That is Job. Let's turn to Job and stand with me. Job chapter number 19. Job chapter number 19, and we'll start in verse number 23 and read down to 27. Job says this, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever." Notice the exclamation marks. What was Job wanted written in a book? You know, what is it that he wanted the world to know? You know, what is it that he wanted the next generation to know? Well, he tells us the next few verses. He said in verse number 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Amen. Tremendous words from a man that just went through a tremendous struggle. So this morning I just wanted to be an encouragement and speak on this topic. Yet will I trust him. Amen. Yet will I trust him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thankful for the messages we've already heard and the blessing it's been. And as was already mentioned, we don't know all the struggles that people have, those are here and those are listening online, but we know that who does have the answers. And this morning, I pray that you help us as we once again look into your word in regards to this man, Saint Job. And I pray you just speak through this lips of clay, comfort the childless, strengthen the grieving, and lift the weary. And I pray you speak in the only way you can and touch hearts, and let it be a blessing this morning to those that may be struggling. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, when trials come, we often have an initial response of faith in God. It's the initial response. Of course, this initial faith in God during trials is not the absence of fear or pain, but a deliberate trust in his character and promises, even when circumstances are dark. You know, we see this response from Job in chapter 1, verse 21. Turn with me there. Job 1. And verse number 21, after he just went through what I just described, he says this, and said, Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." His initial response to that trial was of great faith. Great faith when he was going through that. But as we read through the following chapters, under the relentless time and the struggles he went through, and seeing the empty rooms and chairs, we read in Job, in the rest of the chapters, we find that Job collapses and he cries with confusion. The initial response. You know, we see this happening in our own lives and experiences. You know, when something happens initially into us, a trial, we respond with great boldness and with great faith. But as the trial lingers, we tend to start fade, and we start to lose our faith, our trust. We lose that God is with us. We lose that comfort. You know, I remember many years ago, I think it was a Thursday night. I came over here to the church to do some work. It was an institute night, and the men were downstairs. The pastor was teaching the institute. I came in here to do some work, and I did it quickly and got done. And then as I was about to leave, I noticed that there was the equipment up in the office that was blinking with an error, with the error code. So I thought, wow, I'll fix this real quickly. So I pulled my chair over, I stood on it, and I cleared the error. The only problem was the chair had wheels on them. And, of course, you know what wheels do. They roll, right? So so when that happens, of course, the chair did what it was supposed to do. It rolled and left me behind in the process. So so I fell, and, of course, by the time I got up, got my bearings, I realized that I'd broken my wrist. Now, I didn't know that at that time, that I had broken my wrist. I immediately, when that happened, I stood up and turned the light off, got everything, you know, put up in the office, closed the door, and I got in the car, and I started driving towards the emergency room with one hand. And in the process, I don't remember how I did this, I called my wife and told her what happened. I said, you know, I fell, so I'm headed to the emergency room. Come meet me there. So I got there, and I got in the nurse emergency room. I walked up to the nurse, and, of course, she checked me in, and she looked at me, and she said, boy, you did a number on that, didn't you? And at that time, I saw, I was still not in pain. I don't remember being in pain. But as soon as she said that, and I went and sat down in the emergency room waiting for the doctor to come, the reality set in. All of a sudden, it seems like I lost all my boldness, my courage, you know, and I just you know, fell apart at that point. You know, that's how, you know, we go through when trial comes. You know, we have that initial, you know, boldness and challenge, you know, courage to go, you know, we're going to deal with this. And as those things linger, you know, it changes. You know, when we go through that, we sing, you know, it is well with my soul. We testify in church and to our friends, hey, I'm going through this, pray for me. But when the trial lingers, when the answer from God is delayed, when months turns to years and years turns to decade, that initial phase of faith gets tired in the fire. And some of us are sitting here today with faith that feels worn thin, frayed and weary. And Job said in chapter 7, verse 2, he said, as a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work. What is he saying? He's saying a worker looks forward to the end of the day of his labor. Job is saying, I'm looking forward to be delivered from the situation that I'm in. Job, for months and perhaps for years, have been in anguish and pain and in distress. He says, how long, God, will I have to suffer? And all of a sudden, he looks up from his trial and burden. And he looks into the future. And he sees hope in the future, which gives him help for today. Help for today. So first of all, we see Job's longing to leave a lasting testimony. Lasting testimony that in our text, in Job 22, 23 and 24, it says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. Job wasn't asking for a best-selling biography. He wasn't saying, you know, I want my testimony graved in stone. What he was saying was, I wanted my testimony, you know, carved in stone so that long after I'm gone, somebody will know that even in my darkest hour, still I believed in my God. Friends, that's the key to persevering on lonely road. Don't let the devil silence your testimony. Yes. Right? Write it down. Right? Tell your church family. Tell your church family. Post it on your refrigerator. Share it you know, in this conference with others. Because your lonely road isn't just about you. It's about the next weary traveler who needs to know that somebody else walked this way and kept on walking. Kept on walking. You know, think about the childless couples in Scripture. You know, Abraham and Sarah. You know, waited for about 25 years for Isaac. 25 years. And, you know, and Sarah laughed when the promise came again because her faith had grown weary. But God wrote their testimony in this book that we are holding. And we read it and say how good God is. And the faithfulness of God. Hannah poured out her soul as the altar at the altar year after year, childless and mocked. She could have quit praying. Instead, she left her testimony. And this is what the Bible says, "For this child I prayed. This child I prayed. And Samuel was born, and the nation was blessed." And now we read the testimony. Testimony of Hannah. You know, it can get weary. It can get weary. I remember my wife and I traveling the childlessness journey and ups and downs, trying for many years. Every negative test feels like another grave. But we turned it over to the Lord and started journaling our prayers. Started sharing our story, and suddenly our lonely road became a testimony road. Amen. Telling others about what God, how God good is, God is, even through the trials we were going. Yes. You know, when couples come to this point, somebody else gets encouraged because they refuse to let the enemy bury their testimony. Amen. Yes. Amen. Bury their testimony. Friend, if your faith feels weary today, start by deciding, my words will be written. Amen. Right. My words will be written. Write the date you surrender your womb to the Lord, your marriage to the Lord, your grief to the Lord. Write the scriptures that has helped you. You know, carve them in your heart. Because one day somebody will read your story and say, if they could keep going, so can I. So can I. Job said, that's what Job wanted. He wanted it to be written. Say, I'm going through all this, but I want those that read this to be encouraged. To know that I kept going, even in the face of the trials that he felt. Secondly, we see Job's unshakable knowledge of the Redeemer in verse number 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Notice Job didn't say, I hope, I wish, or I think. He said, I know. Amen. I know. That's the anchor when your initial faith gets tried by delay. That's your anchor. I know my Redeemer liveth. Remember what I said earlier. When the trials first hits, faith rises easy. But when God delays the answer, when the doctor says, still no heartbeat, when the grave stays fresh, when the empty arm aches for another year, that's when the enemy whispers, see, God forgot you. God forgot you. Job knew these whispers. His friends said he must have sinned. His wife said, curse God and die. The pain lingered, the answer delayed. Yet in chapter 19, right in the middle of the longest silence of his life, Job rises up and declares, I know my Redeemer liveth. Job looks into the future and he sees hope that gives him help for today. My Redeemer liveth. Who is this Redeemer? In the Old Testament, he's the kinsman Redeemer. Amen. The one who buys back what was lost, who pays the debt, who restores the family name. But praise the Lord, we know his name in the New Testament. Amen. Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
The one who stood on this earth, died on Calvary, rose on the third day, and is coming again.
Yes. Right.
To stand at the latter day upon the earth, as Job put it. You know, so loss and trials has a way of testing the very roots of our faith. It is in those times that we must decide whether our faith is built only for fair weather,
yes,
or or strong enough to stand in the storm.
Yes.
You know, Habakkuk, the prophet, knew this reality. You know, his world had fallen apart. No fruit, no crops, no flocks, no visible blessing. Yet he declared in chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon mine high places." That word "yet" is a powerful word. It is a hinge of faith.
Yes, amen.
It's a hinge of faith.
Yes.
It's what separates despair from devotion.
Yes.
It means no matter what I see, what I feel, I still trust God.
Yes.
It means my circumstances may change, but my God does not.
Amen.
Does not.
Amen.
So, childless couple, your Redeemer lives. He who opened Sarah's womb and Hannah's womb still lives.
Yes.
Grieving parent, your Redeemer lives.
Yes.
You know, he who wept at Lazarus' tomb and called him forth still lives.
Yes.
Widow or widower whose lonely road feels endless, your Redeemer lives.
Amen.
He who is a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widow still lives.
Amen.
You know, I've watched dear sisters in our church and others walk the road of, you know, childlessness for a decade or more. You know, my wife and I, our own journey. You know, the first few years we had strong faith. We claimed the promise. We rejoiced in the Lord. But by year, as years passed, year 5 and year 10 and year 15, you know, you get tired. You get tired and weary. That's the testing of lingering trials that we have to deal with. But we came to a point in our journey and we said, you know, we don't understand this. We don't understand this, but we know our Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
And something broke when we realized that. Something broke in our, you know, in our hearts. Not because we got pregnant that week, but because our faith stopped depending on the answer and started depending on the Redeemer.
Amen. Yes.
On the Redeemer. So weary one, your faith may feel threadbare today. The delay has worn you down. But hear Job's cry echoing across the centuries. I know my Redeemer liveth. That's not just a Bible verse. That's your battle cry.
Amen.
When the road gets long.
Yes.
In the trials. Then lastly, we see the victorious hope that sustains us through this troubled times and destructions that sometimes we go through. In verse number 26 and 27, back in our text, says, "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not yet though my reins be consumed within me." Job looked at his rotting body, his children dead, his dreams destroyed, his health consumed. And he said, even if this body is eaten by worms, I am still going to see God.
Amen. Yes.
No matter what happens, I'm going to see God.
Yes. Right.
That's the hope that carries us through the deepest Amen. Grief that we go through.
Yes.
Turn with me to John chapter 14. We all know this, should be very familiar to most of us. John 14, Jesus says this, "Let not your heart be troubled." Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's present tense. Then he goes on to say this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, future tense. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, future tense. Amen. Future tense. He's saying, I'm giving you hope for the future, which will give you help for today. Amen. You know, when knowing the fact that Jesus is coming back, great hope. And that gives us another the courage we need, the strength we need to carry on serving the Lord every single day of our life. You know, Apostle Paul, no stranger to suffering, and Brother Fryer mentioned that in Philippians 3, he teaches us that the past is not a prison when faith leads the way forward.
Amen.
You know, Paul could have chained himself to the past. His failures, persecutions, regrets. But he pressed on. He pressed on. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark. Press towards the mark. Faith focuses forward, not backwards. Your past may explain you, but it does not define you. It does not define you. Childlessness can feel like your future has been destroyed. The dream of holding your own baby, watching them grow, passing on the faith seem to be gone. Personal loss can feel like part of your heart has been ripped out. Grief can consume you until you feel like my reins be consumed me, like Job said. Everything inside is hollow. But Job says, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Amen.
Resurrection hope.
Amen. Yes.
One day, this same body that aches with emptiness will stand before the Redeemer in a new body.
Yes.
In a new body.
Yeah.
Boils gone. The pain gone.
Amen.
In a new body. And I will see him not through someone else's testimony, but for myself, he said.
Amen.
For myself. My eyes will behold him. You know, think of it, friends. The child you never got to hold here, you will see them in glory. And together you will behold the Redeemer. The loved one you buried, you will embrace them again in a body that never dies. And together you will see God. The dreams that died in the waiting room, you will watch the Redeemer make all things new. That hope doesn't deny the pain. He still questioned. Job still questioned. But he refused to let go of the Redeemer.
Amen.
He refused to let go of the Redeemer. And because he held on, God eventually restored him more than he imagined.
Amen.
More than he imagined. But even if he hadn't restored him on this side, Job would have been restored on the other side. Complete. That is the persevering faith we need to have in our lives today.
Yes.
So in conclusion, you know, what do we do with this on the lonely road? Number one, write your testimony. Let not the enemy silence your words. Let your testimony be known. Number two, declare with Job, I know my Redeemer liveth. Especially when the delay has made your faith weary. And number three, anchor your heart in resurrection hope.
Amen.
You know, even if everything else feels destroyed, remember this, you will see God.
Amen.
If your faith has grown weary today, if the childlessness, the loss, or the grief has worn you down, if you come to this conference, you came to this conference feeling like you're barely hanging on, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit through Job. In Job in 13:15, he said this, though he slay me, yet I will trust him.
Amen.
Why? Because I know my Redeemer liveth. Job, from the midst of the ashes, proclaimed, I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. We may not get all the help we want. We may not get all the answers we want. We may not get all the things we want. But we don't serve God for what happens here. We serve for what will happen in the future. Let your faith determine your future, not your past. So if you need to renew your grip on the Redeemer, you need to, you know, if you need a fresh strength for the lonely road, if you want to, you know, declare like Job that you still believe, then take it to the Lord today before you leave this place. Maybe you'll never, maybe you've never made Jesus Christ your Redeemer. You know, today can be that day. You know, he stands ready to save, to redeem, to walk with you on the lonely road. Don't leave here with weary faith. Leave here with resurrection hope, because your Redeemer liveth. And because he lives, you can face tomorrow, even on the loneliest road that you will face. Remember, God's delays are not his denials. Psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Yet will I trust. Why? My Redeemer liveth. One day he will make all things new. The future, that future hope we have, gives us the help we need today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the example we have in the scripture of many saints that we can look to. And Job is no exception at all. And what a great testimony he leaves behind for us. I pray that maybe there's someone here that is dealing with some challenges, whether it's childlessness or a grieving parent or a widow or whatever the pain might be. I pray that you'll help them this morning as they listen to these messages. And I pray you just bless and give them encouragement through it so that we can walk another day and know that one day we'll stand before you rejoicing in a new body. I pray just bless this time together, and I don't know how it might have spoken to folks, but I pray your Holy Spirit will do the work only he can, and just bless the rest of the meeting now. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.